给有。
Please refer to the monograph brochure handout that we gave you. On page one, the Mamon Shabbos defines what Mila is. Maybe first remind you what the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Zayin, which most of you should be learning or have learned. Strange Gemara. And Daf Zayin on the days, Dorash Rav Yoshia, Maidik Siv Beis David, Ko Amar Hashem, Dinu Laboker Mishpot, Vitzilu Gozul Mi'ar Oshek, Chi Baboker Donen, V'chal Yom Ein Donen, Dinu Laboker Mishpot. You do justice only in the morning. Elo, Imbor Loch Adobo Kaboker Omreu, Imlau Oltabreu. That's as clear as morning star. Then you paskin the din, otherwise don't say anything. Right after, next line. Abchi Barabba says, Name Rabbi Yochanan. Emor lachoch ma'achosiyat. Emor loch adobo ka'achoscho shiasuro loch emreu. Lo labalt emreu. If you're sure, like you're sure, that you cannot marry your sister, then you paskin the din, otherwise not. What does Rabbi Yochanan come to add to Rabbi Yochanan? What's wrong with that posik? Kaboker? Just some pine psukim that say the same thing, and that's not the style of the Gemara. You have two Amoroim. They must be contributing something. The first pasuk says, you have to know the facts before you can paskin. Boker and Laila are factual. Therefore, if you're sure that it's morning, like you're sure that it's morning, you're sure the halacha, one the halacha, the facts that lead to the halacha, omreyu, comes along, Rabbi Yochanan says, Huadin, once you have all the facts, you better be sure you know the halacha like you know the halacha, Vachoscho Shiasu halacha. So you have two requirements for halacha. One, to know the facts, and then you can pass Kana Shaila if you know the halacha. We are at a disadvantage, Bizman Azeh, because that few people understand the halacha, that should be obvious by now. But if actually nobody knows the facts, and yet Paskin Shaivas, that's also become standard. I remember a letter written to the OU after I gave a shir in Toronto, along with another Rosh Yeshiva from a famous yeshiva on Hilchos Nida. That was the days when I was a salesman for a mikveh. I went through stages of my life. First one was mikveh, second one was Shabbos and technology, and then Baruch Hashem branched out to whatever way you do. They wrote a letter to the OU saying that they should know that I verge on apokalypsis, because I said that you cannot know all the facts from the Gemara, that you have to have facts that you acquire from external sources to apply to the Gemara, to Halacha as well. And that's obviously apokalypsis. Sadly, this has been a reality in Hilchos Mila, as we'll see. The Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Gimel defines what Mila is by telling you the minima that are permissible on Shabbos. That determines the minima. Because if it was unnecessary, you can't do it on Shabbos because you have halacha in conflict. Misos Mila and Iso Shabbos. Osin kol tzoche Mila b'Shabbos. You do all. Now, what I define, what's Tzorche Mila? Molin, Uporin, Umotitzin, Venosin Oleh is Planus, you have to put a bandage on to stop the bleeding, the Komun, whatever that was. Nowadays, most Molim who was trained in Eretz Yisrael put on some kind of a powder. That's a secret formula from a very choshva individual, Chaim Levracha, unfortunately passed away. Yosela Weisman, Yosela, who trained many of the American Molim there, because he had the Rishus to, not Rishus, he was sought after by the Arabs to do their Mila. And therefore he had clinical material in order to let our boys practice. You figure, you can butch it up, might as well butch up one of theirs. And then with the growing animosity, he didn't have the material, he stopped training. And nowadays it's extremely difficult for a moral to get trained. For a young man who wants to go into Mila, it's very, very difficult. Because you can learn the halacha, you can learn the theory, but you can't get clinical experience because of the insurance policies of hospitals and so on and so on. In Europe, you ask any older rabbonim, how did a man become a moral in Europe? He watched and watched. And if he was zoche to have a son, and he did mila on his own son, he became a moral. No one would take him for a fellow who never did mila before. He had to prove it. Baruch Hashem had a few sons, he became a moral mumche. Right there. You turn next onward.
Huh?
What?
Mila.
Yeah.
Shabbos.
Putur.
Is it
Putur
or Kuya?
Mila on Shabbos doesn't go with Mila on Shabbos. You see, it goes with Refuah b'Shabbos. Whenever Refuah b'Shabbos, machlokes with the Putur or the Kuya, which is not a machlokes really, because the basis of the Shulchan Aruch that holds the Kuya still says Osim Kol Tzoche Chola b'Shabbos, so that in fact, just a side comment, the only machloka is of the Chuyin and Hutra on the Refuah b'Shabbos is only whether you have to do all the Shiloh or not, but not whether you have to do it or not. Everybody's moda that you do Kol Tzoche. That my only machloka is any advantage to do it b'Shiloh or not. That's all. Rabbi Rapapa, I have it underlined over there for you a little bit, I think. You call your attention to it at the bottom of the Amud. Hai umno de lo mayat sakonahu. It should say, Hai umno de lo mayat, do not perform mitzvah smila. Right? And on Shabbos then, he would be over on Isur Shabbos, whatever Isur there is in making meal of a Shabbos. The Kalko, not such a big Isur, but nevertheless, it's Mekalka Bechabur, Mekalka Bechabur is Chayev. There's a reason why he does it on Shabbos, and Metzitza means he takes Dam Michiburo Sakonahu Vavrinale. He's a sloppy moil, and you disqualify him. Don't let him do Mila. Shita, of course, Mida Kavachal Shabbos, it means Sakonahu. Doesn't say Mida Chiyav Mila Mutar B'Shabbos, because Shabbos, Mila is Doche Shabbos. Betza Mayom Azeh, we know Atuba B'Shabbos. No, the reason why you do it is because Kadosh Baruch Hu said, make Mila. Once you make Mila, the poor fellow is B'Sakonah. Then the Hilchus Refuah step in. That the Kuch Nefesh is Doche Shabbos. So what's the Havami? What's the Sofik? Of course, you have to make Mitzitza. And if the fellow doesn't make Mitzitza, then you get rid of him. He's a man endangers the life of a baby. And now the same Haidam Mifkat Pokid. You might think that what? That is Mutar B'Shabbos not because of Sakone, because there's no Issur. Because the Dam Mila is Mifkat Pokit. Okay, anyone care to translate that one?
Yes. In other words, we have this in Kesuvos. And the more Kesuvos talks about marrying a Basulan.
Right, Dan Basulan. So why do you, if you'll translate that one, you'll know this one too.
Sure. It means that it's sort of like a pocket full of blood, and then when you penetrate it, blood just comes out. It's not a word.
There's only one little problem. It's not true.
Yeah,
that's the whole problem.
Yeah.
That's always a little problem.
Yeah. All right. It's the positive.
I'll explain it to you in a minute. Oh, the same. Haidam Mifka Pokid, Kamashbolon Chaburi Mirbo. And you rank Subas here too. The Pshatting Subas is. The Isur of Chaburi is the Isur of. Mitilas Neshama. And Dam Hua Nefesh. Therefore, when you cause bleeding, you're over on Mitilas Neshama. But what if Kadosh Baruch Hu said that this blood is not your Neshama? Because God didn't let little girls be born to kill them. And God said every little girl, we expect her to go through this process of losing the Dam Sulim. Therefore, you can't consider Dam Sulim as Horeg HaNefesh. You can't consider Dam Sulim as Netilas Neshama. Because Mifkat Pocket is reserved for this purpose. It's not part of the general circulation, which you would. It, of course, is part of general circulation. Not as Netilas Neshama. Therefore, that's how meaning the Gemara here. You might think, since God's told Avraham Avinu, all your children will have to get through this bleeding process. Therefore, this amount of blood of Dam Mila shouldn't be considered to be Netilas Neshama, therefore it's not also B'Shabbos. Kamash Malan and that's all. Why? Because there are Goyim who don't have Mila. When it comes to Dam Sulim, every woman, Jew or non-Jew, Kadosh Baruch Hu intended, what? Kuvu Milus Oretz for Jews, and also B'Rol HaShavus Yitzhara for all humanity. Therefore, every woman will be subjected to this amount of bleeding. And therefore, it's Bifkat Pocket. That's a. Whereas by Mila, you can't apply it universally because it applies only to Jews, not to non-Jews. Everybody concludes, no. That's, you know, it's because of Sakona. You can't get away with the tenets of Mifkat Pocket. Okay. I regret that I can't give you a source for that shot that I claim to be mine. I'm supposed to be published in the next. What happened to the next edition? That's supposed to come out from the Beis Yisrael.
Last year?
Huh? Yeah.
It
came out?
No, the Reed's office.
I'm sorry?
The Reed's office.
You don't know?
Yeah?
Okay, I missed out. It should be in there. Okay. So we have a little bit of a problem here. We'll go a little further to make a point. Look at the next Amud. Kufra Medav HaMedav. Roman numeral 3. Amar Rove. Oh, Halacha Ketana. Machitza Zakotan Bein Mifnei Mila Bein Lacha Mila B'yom Rishon Kedako V'yom HaShlishi Shecholiyos B'Shabbos Mezalfen Olav B'Yad Avlo B'Kli. אבל זה בנזר יומר, מאחיס זקותן ביום השלישי, יכול להיות בשבס, שנאמר, והיא ביום השלישי, ביוסם כואב. כן, אני לא יודע, מילה איזן אובר, אז סקונה, כן? סקונה is only for מציצה? No. ביום השלישי, something happens, and the baby has to be treated on ביום השלישי. It has to be washed. And therefore, if יום השלישי comes out on Shabbos, you made Mila during the week. On Shabbos, you can be Mechal Shabbos, right, in order to wash the baby. In other words, I can boil water on Shabbos to wash the baby. Because, Kuch Nefesh, Nefesh. Such a machlokis, one fellow says, hey, you can get away with spritzing the baby a little bit. No one says, no, you need a, obviously, in Safed Pekuach Nefesh, in such a machlokis, well, Paskin, he's supposed to wash the baby on Shabbos, even to Bimchal Shabbos. Go to the next Omid, and we'll put it all together. about one third down from the Yomid Omar Amamar. Right. Lo Safik Dorch the Shabbos Rasu Yomai. Mishnah said only a Vadai is Dorch Shabbos. A Safik not Dorch Shabbos. Safik not Dorch Shabbos. Safik Gurnevsh is Dorch Shabbos. Safik Mila is not Dorch Shabbos. Only Mila Vadai is Dorch Shabbos. What's the case of Safik? Ben Shiva Mechalo is a Shabbos. Ben Ches Mechalo is a Shabbos. Safik Ben Zayin Safik Ben Ches Mechalo is a Shabbos. What's a Ben Ches? A Ben Ches is anything less than 270 days of gestation. Is a non-Ben Ches. If it's less than 270 days and not 239 days, then he's a Ben Ches. In other words, Ishaino Yoledas the Mekutoin, so that a premature birth, meaning less than full term birth, is Vadai will die, Vadai will not live. Born on the seventh month, meaning exactly 7 months of gestation, that's a Ben Sheva, that's okay. It's a Ben Shiva, is all right. Ben Shiva, until the end of nine, Ben Ches isn't just the eighth month. Anything less than full 9 months gestation, right, is called a Ben Ches, and therefore he's a Suffolk, Suffolk Chai, Suffolk Day, is a Nathal, Suffolk Chai, Yadur Cheshavas. Bali Tais is very worried about that shot.
Why is a month later a Suffolk?
Obviously, that's, here we will tie it all together with the Betzitzah Shai. What are we playing around with, really? We're playing around with Rabbi Yoshua's Boker. What are your facts? Are your facts right? And then I know how to pass the Shai. The halacha is clear. Then a Ben Ches, if he's a Sofik Chai, you're not the Erech Shabbos. What do you do if the doctors tell you that your wife is 7 months pregnant? Yeah. 7 months pregnant is only 28 weeks. Once she hits 32 weeks or 34 weeks, we stop worrying. You're off. Off for a clear, you have a clear path ahead of you. Every ibur, every pregnancy has always a suffix to it. The doctor will often say, Baruch Hashem, you're ready. Another few weeks and you're out of the woods, no problem. Especially if the pregnancy has some difficulties with it. After what are you talking about? Another few weeks she'll be a Ben Ches. Ben Ches is terrible. Maharakal, that children are born already gestate at different rates. Some gestate fast so that therefore 7 months is enough. And if they didn't make it by 7 months, they fall into a different category called Ben Ches. And they are premature. But the facts are not so. Taisus was already disturbed by the facts, and Taisus, and we'll see the Rambam. I'm sorry. They what they don't?
By the fact your hospitals have instruments that don't have nothing to do with it. That they can incubate them, incubate the babies, have the
Ben Ches. The fact that which facts?
The reason why Ben Ches can live today has nothing to do with the fact that they have better incubation.
I don't understand what you're saying. The fact that the Ben Ches
can live today.
Yes.
Because they have better equipment. They are better.
No. No. No, not the with equipment. Because a Ben Ches is healthier than a Ben Shiva, because they've been inside longer and they cooked a little bit. It's not half cooked, half baked. They're better baked. Right. Okay. One is rare, one's medium rare. Okay. Look at Jesus. Nirlari. Reading more another line, right? Safa Bechad Emanza Shabbos, Ben Shmona, Hareyu Ke'evan, Vaso Vataltalom. Avalimo Socher, Umenikosom, Rea Sakone. His books are on Shabbos, but the mother can lean over and let him nurse Mibnei Asagona. So here there are two rushes. Right? Here in Yevamos is the Sakona of the Ben and the son of the child and the mother. That's the Sakona. Right? And Rashi here is a Mibnei Asagona. Mibnei Shecholov Harbe Bidadeo Mevil De Choli. Because the mother will get sick by not allowing the milk to be expressed. So the baby nurses in order to help the mother. But the baby I wouldn't care about. The same Gemara occurs in Yevamos, as you see inside. There Rashi says the Sakona Shel Shnehem. We are worried about the baby. Sorry?
Who's
the Sakona Shel Shnehem? Same Rashi, but Yevamos, where is it? Yevamos, Dafa. That way, quotes on the side. Okay.
So, wait, what was the first Gemara you quoted? Hmm? So, what was the first Gemara Rashi quoted? The one that argues with the one in Yevamos.
Here, our Rashi.
Oh, that's
right. Rashi, yeah, so on the page.
Oh.
Right. Okay. Here you bumped into what is an umbrella shaila in Halacha today. What do you do when the facts do not concur with what the Gemara says? The answer is you discount what the Gemara says. No problem. Look at in the Otsa Goinim on Gittin Dav Sama Zayin, Rav Shriroi Goin Omer, translated into Hebrew, it's in Aramaic, it's Chachomeinu Hein Velo Rofeinu. They're Chachomim. When they talk Torah, they talk infallibly. Infallibility. When they talk science, they are caught with the one mistake that Chazal made, as I like to put it. Chazal made only one mistake. They said, Yesh Chochma v'Goyim Tamin. So you should trust the Goyim when it comes to science. But the Goyim lied. They made up things that never were. And half of the stuff you get from the Greeks is from their mind, imagination. Chazal didn't have that poor opinion of the Goyim like we have today. Therefore, much of the information that we have today in the Gemara came from the Goyim. And therefore, Al Tamin, you don't have to. Therefore, all the answers in the Gemara on how to cure various diseases, and maybe you should give out, I have a little thing that I put out on the Makoros for Nishtana Teva. I'm going to bring that out. I'll try to reproduce it for you. I have a bunch of it. It starts off with the Gemara with the Tosfos in Moed Katan and Daf Yud Aleph, where the Gemara says that fish should be eaten only when they begin to putrefy. That's when they're healthiest. And the Tosfos says, but it's not so. We know that it's unhealthy. Nishtana Teva. Or Tosfos, the Gemara says that a cow, if she's less than 3 years old when you got it, then Vadai, the first birth, must be a bchor. Because a cow doesn't become pregnant less than 3 years. So Tosfos says, but our cows get pregnant and give birth before 3 years? Shana Teva, what's it? They have got I think in both cases, Tosfos is wrong. They really love Nishtana Teva. Nishtana meaning you're dealing with different subspecies. There are cows that give birth only after 3 years, but farmers selected among the cows that give birth early because their advantage, so they animal husbandry, so they developed a strain which was common in Alsace-Lorraine where they gave birth early. Yeah. But it could be the time of the Gemara in the Hanami. It was so. Likewise, the fish that the Gemara is referring to could very well be the fish that people today in Russia travel way out near Siberia to buy a fish which is like caviar or something, which is hung in the sun, like the Goyim do with meat. They like it, meat, as quote, that's aged. Age means fashtunken. Right? Age means it begins to smell a little bit. And there are such fish. So the Shtana Yediyas HaTeva would be a better Russian than the Shtana HaTeva. More information is coming. It impacts on us, halacha l'maisa, on the menches, and of course under Mitzitza probably.
Isn't there, there's another one about a woman giving birth after a cesarean section? Is that an explanation for that?
A cesarean section, no.
That a woman can't give birth after a cesarean
section? No, not familiar with that Gemara, no. Is the Gemara on that? I'm sorry. I'd be happy to hear it. It says you can't give birth after a cesarean section, usually because she's dead. In the old days, it's hard to give birth after you're dead, but yeah.
So, since you're on the topic now, I won't take too much of the Rav's time, but I'd like just to ask a quick question. When Rav Moshe decides for the halakha that Ben Shemosh is until three stars, and you don't base it on the Greek astronomy of Ptolemy that the sun goes around the earth, which a lot of the medieval prophets do. Is he just doing it from Masorah? Did
Rav Moshe
connect
with the Rav Masorah, or did he decide that was the law? I mean, my relationship with Rav Moshe was that I had to take care of his daughter, not his shuvas. let that one ride. Okay. Go just a little bit further in the text that you have in front of you, right? And pick up the Rambam. I'm sorry, you didn't according to Tosfos. What does Tosfos say? And Tosfos' modification of the Gemara already is in keeping with modern knowledge that the poor little baby has tzoras. If what? If there's a reyus besaro b'tziponov. The baby is born without hair and without nails, something ain't kosher. That's a problem. That really shows what some obviously pathology that is there, and that's called a ben ches. But if nigmur, if he looks okay, then he is okay. If there's no morphological flaw in the baby, that's what the Rambam says, say on page 9 and on Roman numeral 9. Katan Yud Aleph, as the Rambam Aleph Yud Aleph. Katan Shenolak Shumo, Umi Shenola Bechodesh Hashmini, Liburu, right? Shu Kenefer B'nei Shorachai, Vyotze Dofer Mandrogonus, Umi Sheshur Steolos, Ein Dofer Shabbos, and Limon Bacha B'Shabbos Shu Yom Shi Shalahem. He lists together Ben Ches, right? That is a Nefer Einochai, and likewise, someone born by cesarean section, right, Yotze Dofen, or someone with a aberrant external genitalia, don't know what it is, that is the androgynous, which could be also tumtum, but tumtum is not an issue which Rambam knew already. Tumtum is not a suffix in the gender, of the child. Tumtum is merely a anatomical minor flaw at the end of every apex. Any end, it's possible for skin to overgrow during gestation, and there are babies that are born without a face. It's called a caul, C-A-U-L. A call, no one ever tells the mother about it, because as soon as the baby is born, the doctor snips it and peels it off. It's a piece of thin skin that grows. That happens also at the genitalia, and that's called a tumtum. Nikra, once it's cut open, you know it's a zohar mekevel. Among the Arabs, it's a sign of good luck. They don't let you tear the skin. I saw several of them at Hadassah Hospital, where there happens to be an aperture for the urine to come out, but they don't know whether it's Zohar or Nekeva. Most likely, the child gets a little bit older, someone's going to convince the parents to make the child normal. That's androgynous, however, is a real mess. Androgynous means, and we have that born today, it's not that uncommon either. I would say 0.03 percent of children are born androgynous. Androgynous means XXXY cells, mixed cells. Some cells XX, some cells XY. A real problem how to define the gender of such a child. Misha Nolad, right, Ben Ashmoshos, right, and then Misha Nolad Bechodesh Ashmini, Imhoya Sholim Besaro Besipona, Areza Vlad Sholim, Vechain Shivo, Elosh and Ishtar, or Ben Shivohu, Elosh and Ishtar. It was really a 7 month, but he took his time coming out. So he's going to grow up to be a yeshiva bacha. You never do today like you do tomorrow. He takes his time, no rush. Great. What do you do with all that? It's obvious b'zman hazeh. Ben Ches is determined by the pediatrician. The child is abnormal, some problems, etc. etc. We'll talk chole next time. We'll get around to what a chole is. Let's go back to Maisa Hamila. Okay. We have the problem of Mitzitza, the problem of Mila itself. What is Mila? Okay. Let's see if we can get enough clarity on there. Let's put the lights on. One more thing. All right, got a little focus. That's the Ola. And that's the Kamol. The Ola is like a sack. Right. In other words, imagine a sack that's pulled in on itself. You have a skin that goes around. There's an upper skin that comes around again. That's the Ola, and the Priya is underneath. They don't show it as a separate thing because it's the inner lining of the trepus, or the so-called mucosal layer. We make Mila by taking off both. Take off the mucus layer and the upper layer, the so-called epithelium. Mol v'lo para, kilo lo mol. Avraham Avinu did not have kosher Mila. Avraham Avinu only had, the Mora tells us, has only Mila, didn't have Priya. Priya came in later. The Ola, as you see, peters out on the bottom of the Ava and joins in what's called there the frenulum. That's when it becomes part of the Gid. Part of the body of the penis itself. What you'll be involved in, if you go into Rabbonus or into medicine or get a reputation for being a Talmud Chacham, you'll be involved in these cases over and over again. These are common cases. And if you've heard the term hypospadia, that's a reason for delaying the Mila. Instead of the opening reaching to the very tip, that's called external meatus, right? The external meatus comes out over here where I put the arrow. Now it depends. If the external meatus is, instead of being over here, it's down over here, or even down over here, no big deal. Then al pi halacha, the child should be nimo on Shabbos, on day 8. There's no reason to delay the Mila, nor any reason to subject the child to any kind of repair mechanism, any kind of repair surgery. So when he urinates, he urinates a little bit off on an angle instead of going straight. It goes a little bit down. No big deal. If, however, it's down here, the opening, then he can only urinate like a girl. He has to sit down on the toilet seat to be able to urinate. Nor will he be able to inseminate a wife. Then you need repair. Well, how do you repair? What happened here was that this opening, this tube, ended prematurely. Instead of ending here, it ended here. I don't have a tube here. I have to make a tube, taking tissue and extending that tube to the end. Well, where do you get tissue in order to extend to the end by a boy? I look for tissue and it doesn't grow hair. It starts growing hair inside, it's not going to do him any good. Well, the only thing you have to use is either the palm of your hand, which would make the baby into a balmum, scarring the palm of his hand, or you need the awa. So the awa then can be used to wrap around, make a tube from it, and extend the opening to the end. That's a reason for delaying mila. It's not a chole, but a pialoche, the baby will be a terrible balmum. For such a reason, we delay the mila until the baby is old enough to undergo this repair mechanism, this repair surgery. And that's always a sticky problem, because that's already done in a surgical amphitheater, it's done in the surgical room, right? And this is going to be mysomila at that time, usually at age 3 or 4 is when they do it. And the problem of getting the moil into the operating theater together so that he should participate in the mila, usually it doesn't work out. Well, what do we want him to do? We want him to cut off the awa 92%. Because the way this is done is to use make a flap. You cut off the awa and don't detach it from its source of circulation so that the blood vessels still enter the awa, and you flip around the awa, make it into a tube, and bury it into the glands. So actually, you don't remove the awa completely. Interesting in halacha, a known word about that. But you remove it almost completely, leaving just some blood vessel attachment. Otherwise, the danger is, if I cut off completely, that it will not be viable in a little while. It will die. For that reason, you must have all the skin, and then we delay. That's the hypospadia. What's hypospadia? Underneath opening. Hypo underneath, instead of it being at the tip, it's at the end.
What do you do with the girl regularly?
I'm sorry?
After the meal, what do you do with the girl regularly?
What do we?
If the skin that's cut off, what do we do with that skin in general?
A lot of sorrows, what you do. In the old days, we said, turn off the tape recorder, I'll tell you what we said. You send it to Ireland, they send back a cop for each one. Yeah. But is today, if it's done in a hospital, is sent to a company run by 2 firm Jews who make from it skin to cover third degree burn wounds. You can grow that ola in tissue culture so that it grows more. And that forms a skin which is very, very life-saving until the patient's own skin can be grafted. You cover it with awa skin, a very, very successful method. If it's not under hospital, then it's not aseptic, then it's just buried. Mini gusar, usually a mile has a little cup with some soil in it, and he puts it in there and ultimately throws it away. And that's already based on Kabbalah in Yonim. Okay? Next. How was mila done? Okay. A chance to finish that. There are 3 ways to do mila in America today. Actually, 4 ways. 3 of which I'll describe to you. The preferred method is the way we do it. No one does it better than a Moel. It's very simple. If you realize all you have to do here is there are so-called adhesions. The skin is attached by little bits of skin to the gid itself. So they put in a little probe, which is nothing more than a heavy needle, right? You run it around here, separating the skin from the gid underneath. You grab the skin with the forceps, pull it forward, put a guard on, and amputate. It takes a few seconds. It's the kindest, most effective way to make me look. Why the medical profession discredited freehand Mila, I have the slightest idea. It just does make sense. And no doctor who knows about it fails for his own son to get a Moel to do it. They do it in a different way. And it poses a tremendous shaila in halacha. Even though Mashrel Shubin Igros says something which is not accurate in most of the cases. It was written before I got involved. Here's how Mila is done. Okay. Yep. Usually the Moel is not upside down. Same thing. They separate the ola from the bottom, and then they're still upside down. Where we have it here. The words are upside down. Where we have it here. They separate by putting a probe in and separating the ola from the gid. Then they slip a bell onto it. And the bell goes over the ola. And pass it around and make the visualize it a little bit better. This is called the Gamko plant. Here, you can pass it around. Get a chance to see it. It's used to be used in Spain during the Inquisition. It's a torture mechanism. There you see what it is. Loosen this, then the flesh itself, underneath the ola, the ola is drawn over it. See, it takes about 20 minutes, right? It is then put back, it must have four hands to do it, but a surgeon can do it alone. This is then put back on here. I now have, you look up there, the ola is stuck over here, in between this bell and this. And when I tighten, I crush the ola against the metal here and leave it there for 8 minutes. During which time, I've crushed all the blood vessels. Then with a scalpel, cuts around here, leaving the ola behind. And it's bloodless surgery. That's the big yichus. There's no bleeding whatsoever, no bandages needed, nothing. You know, Pastor Ron, get a chance to see, and this hangs from the baby that's for 20 minutes.
That's
I'm sorry? They were a little loud. I left over here.
That is just as kosher as the way that the Moilu do it?
That way is not kosher. Because there's no hatopa zambris when done properly. In my shmer's shuba, you have the shuba in here, and we'll refer to it. He says there's always bleeding with the gamko clamp. That's not true. There's only bleeding with a gamko clamp if the bell is too big for the baby, then you have to cut the oral slit, the dorsal slit, to be able to slip it on. Otherwise, the whole intent of this whole procedure is it should be absolutely bloodless. Therefore, if you have a mila without a tapas zambris, so going to almost all the shonen, it's not a kosher mila. It's like a nolad mohu, where he will need a tapas zambris after that. And certainly, it's also to do so on a chatzila. On Shabbos, vada, it's also. Okay?
Eight minutes.
You would have 6 minutes. They do it after 4 minutes. You would have some bleeding. But you wouldn't have bleeding. You also have another problem, and that is that the if you read. If you remove the time prematurely, the crushed edges may separate and bleeding will occur. When this occurs, then you have to suture the mucocutaneous margin. Mucocutaneous margin meaning the aura clear and aura aura then have to be sewn together. Otherwise, scar tissue will form, etc. So,
in CUS, it would be considered to be bad medicine or bad surgery, and you wouldn't do something there.
The other clamp that all the Moilim use today is the Brunstein clamp. The Brunstein clamp is a modification of the Gamko. It is just as also as the Gamko, because you can't, it was intended l'chatchila to do just what the Gamko does, only I just couldn't get the model I was looking for was away in Florida. The core is back. I'll bring it next time to show you. The clamp is a mamasha clamp. Two jaws come together. You pull the ulna forward. You put on the jaws and screw it down. Don't screw it down. He has a lever that compresses and does the same thing. It crushes all the blood vessels and get blood surgery out. It has a disadvantage, why the doctors don't like it, but this maintains the anatomical relationship. This maintains a circular. You end up with a circular opening. In the bouncing clamp, you have it clamped together, but no problem. It separates. What you crush together is the plea all and the all, right? And it'll separate and also not cause any bleeding. The advantage of the Brunstein clamp is I can also make mila with regular bleeding. If I don't clamp it down, then why use it? In other words, Moilim like to use it because it reduces the problem of bleeding. So what they do, they use the clamp, press it down, and don't wait for the whole time, and take it off. That's if they are 99% of the Moilim use the Brunstein, use it for the same reasons as the Gamko. They have another cheshbon. They don't have to come back and see the baby. The main reason for coming back to see a baby is because the baby is still bleeding a little bit and the mother gets worried. So they call the Moilim, has to go, and if the Mila was someplace far away, or if the Mila was on a Friday, and they called you as you on Shabbos and so on. So the Brunstein clamp has spread among even the Fumo as a preferred method.
I gave an etzer to Moralim who said they can't function without it. In order to take away what became a issue signed by almost all the Gedoli Haposkim of this generation, they all signed that it's also to use the Bronstein clamp. I heard Bronstein speak here in the yeshiva on his clamp, where he said, asked him, is it approved? He says, yes, I discussed it with Moshe. Well, fine. He didn't go to the next sentence, which he never made, and Moshe said, it's also. They both put an Isser on it for two reasons. One, because of the possibility of bloodless, and two, because they didn't want Mila to develop as easily as it does. It's a very easy way to make Mila, meaning any shlomazel can make Mila that way. Sort of doing freehand required a little more skill, a little more danger, and therefore they wanted to leave it in the hands of the mole, and that it should become this common practice that any one who went to medical school would be able to do that Mila that way. Halacha l'maisa, it should not be used because Shemipim on the Hoy and all the Gedolim that we have in our generation here in Eretz Yisrael all signed an Isur against it. It should not be used. In order to avoid that Isur, I gave an Eitzah, which is a bit different, but it's. And that is the two jaws that clamp together to file a V shaped nick in the jaws so that it's impossible to get hemostasis, bloodless in that spot. That you must have bleeding that way. The bleeding comes from the fact that the whole aula is compressed. But if I have a little excavation here, I have a V shape here where it must bleed, you can find that under these conditions, maybe it would not have lasted.
The objection of having every medical student be able to do Mila, what exactly is the objection? No halachic objection, a financial objection?
I think Fumkeit. In other words, they said, here, Moralim, Venish Moralim represent a class of ritual circumcisers.
But the Torah wants the father to model child.
I'm sorry?
But the Torah wants the father to model child.
Yes.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with it, except that the father has to learn from a Moral how to do it. Right? It still puts him under our control. They thought it was just that Mila would become a secular surgical procedure done by just about anybody. That was part of the cheshbon. Whether it was right cheshbon, good, wrong cheshbon, I don't know. I think in retrospect, I think they should have done what I suggested, namely say the Bronstein clamp will be acceptable if you cut a little nick in it so that you have to guarantee that there's some tipos dam will come out of it. That's all. Yeah.
So just to review the halacha, the donko should never be used at all, ever, under any circumstance. And the main problem is because it's bloodless.
And gamko, you have only the shayla. If it was done, usually the gamko, when it's used, is done only by pediatricians, urologists,
even if it's
in
Jew,
the hospital.
Even if it's a Jew, still, he should not be doing it because
oh,
bloodless.
No. I know Moralim, they use the gamko clamp.
But that's improper. Violating the halacha.
Yeah, but
the second problem, which Rebbe didn't mention this time, was the tsar, that Rav Moshe asked it because it caused a tremendous tsar for the baby.
I just hinted, I said that this darn thing takes 20 minutes, and for 8 minutes the baby is lying there with this torture and stuff.
There was also a lot of consideration that you can't do it because
of the tsar. I was discussing the tsar, and I'm going to bring it in when we discuss the use of anesthesia or analgesia for a child at Mila.
And the Bronstein, if it's used the way it originally was meant to be used by total clamping,
awesome.
So it has the problem of bloodless.
Right.
But if you don't clamp it totally, it should have been mutter. But since the Gedolei Master, so Rav Sandler is recommending to the Eved for those molim when I wanted to go back to file by a V.
With the tiny that. Ain't there logos? They refer to a Bronstein clamp. This is not the Bronstein clamp. This is Bronstein minus clamp. This is the Bronstein a little bit less. Yes, sir.
When I studied Yerubas, because the whole question, and I don't want to jump ahead, but the whole question was the errors. concerning whether someone already had a meal and was bloodless and on top of the stomach risk. Yeah. So that's related to the same issue, my exact same issue. Yeah. Those in Polsky who don't pass in that way, they hold it as a problem.
Right. Okay. That's all I had.
Did they say that?
Okay, let's go with our quickly.
Did
Ramosha
didn't usher the Gam Kohen?
I'm sorry?
I thought you said
Ramosha
didn't usher the
Gam
Kohen. Did not usher.
No, we have the truth here.
I thought you said because
he did usher the Gam Kohen and the Bronstein. In the Tshuva, he makes reference to the Gam Kohen and says that in the Gam Kohen there is B'dieved. There's a, there is breather. It shouldn't be used.
He's referring to the dorsal split.
One second.
Maybe that is counted, maybe it isn't. So in the end, he said it's us. Right?
Right.
The fact that sometimes they cut it
I said,
before they put on the bell, so
right.
Maybe that's called
maybe that should be called.
Maybe not, because it's not.
Or is that prep? That's the difference. But the Metzius is not so. In other words, the dorsal slit is not made except in the case where the bell is too large to be used for this little baby where the bell won't fit under, but normally the intent was it should be bloodless. So by separating the ola, you can then slip the bell on under normal circumstances, so that the idea that there is always bleeding, he was referring to the dorsal slit, that is not, the metzius is not so. Yes?
Would that work for somebody who lets you can't bleed a lot?
I'm sorry?
Let's say a baby's born and he lost a brother before, two brothers before, and they did regular Milo. Maybe this, if they use this Ganko thing, it wouldn't stop the bleeding.
No.
Do
no, that doesn't help. No, because the Ganko counts on clotting. In other words, part of the process is that the blood clots in this compressed thing, and a baby who has a clotting defect, hemophilia, we'll discuss that in Mitzvah. My plan is, I hope, to just to spend the two shiurim on Mila, touching on the things that you can't figure out yourself, and have four for Gerus, but we may need a little bit more, we need a little more, we'll see how it goes, depends on your interest. But Gerus is a bigger topic, it's can't divide. I'm with you, Mitzvah, for 6 weeks. Three and three is maybe the intent originally, but the division is better at two and four, two and a half and three and a half or something. We have on this medical aspects yet, we have to discuss one chola, what's called chola in halacha, right? Where you delay. We pointed out just an anatomical problem of hypospadia where we allow the delay in order the baby shouldn't develop to be a kushofcha, and then we have the problem, strange problem, about the use of anesthesia for a baby, and then we finish off the issue of the mitzitza. Issue of mitzitza, we've run out of time, but the issue of mitzitza isn't just the issue of mitzitza. Issue here is what the Gemara says, I'm willing to be Michal Shabbos for mitzitza because it's sakana. Well, all the evidence that's come in today is that mitzitza is a major sakana. Number one, it is not necessary, meaning there's no medical rational reason for making mitzitza for the benefit of the child. And the idea of putting someone's saliva on an open wound of a child has now become a very serious problem. I'll show you next time. Paper that I'm a co-author of, it's just been accepted in pediatrics, of six cases by one model of herpes infection of a child, and then child herpes infection, the herpes I'm referring to is like a cold sore herpes, which in an infant whose immune system isn't developed yet could be fatal, and then the second herpes, genital herpes, which is a viral infection that never goes away. And the Moel, if he was involved, this is a sexual transmitted disease, and the Moel, I'm not exempt from that Yitzhahara. That is a serious, serious disease that already has been published. Well, that's herpes 2, I'm referring to herpes 1, herpes labialis, which I now have a difficult situation. A Marlin town in Muncie has now been identified as a source of infection for two children. I have to call him in and tell him he's either making mitzitsa bepeh, or we'll have to announce that he cannot be used as a mole. The mitzitsa bepeh we're talking about. Almost all mole and make mitzitsa. Why? No rational reason for it. All mole and make mitzitsa, but you make mitzitsa with a tube. You take a glass tube, which they sell for mole, but usually it's more adequate to have a sterile 5cc syringe, the barrel of a syringe, put on, make mitzitsa. Here you'll see all the tubers. We'll run you through quickly, Mitchum. Next time on the two disease. We've run out of time, yeah.
Right, just about the first method of Milo that you presented, that was using a hemolymph. What about the fact that the Priya is not done beyond that method? There
okay, we have that in there. That's Priya Milo Bavasachas.
Right, that's
okay. But this is a Kabbalah Maisa. Kol Asmosai Kaman Hashem Michamocha. And they say that each part of the body does a mitzvah. What mitzvah does the nail do? The mitzvah of the nail makes priya. Right. Look at Rabbi Yankov Emden Siddur. My shver makes reference to the shuvah. Says Hani Bavloi Mumchim Hein, the molin uporim bevasachas. Most of our molin do not make mila priya b'tziporim. Only the chassidim are makvedan. Most molin, when they put the probe in, then they stick a hemostat. Tweezers and pull the skin forward, they already have in the tweezers ora mila and ora priya. When they put the guard on and cut, they amputate both mila and priya. There's no need to make priya bitzipolin. The chassidim are makpid dafke to slip the top skin off, and dafke to make mila the priya bitzipolin, which is the most painful part for the baby. For there, you're ripping skin when you go quick cut with a scalpel. It's a quick cut. This is already not a nice thing to do to a fellow human being. Okay. Stop here. Let's dump in.